Congregation is invited to stand. The entire order of service is printed in the bulletin, as well as all the hymn verses and so forth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. In holy baptism, Dennis Dale Meyer was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness, which covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Amen.
God is our refuge and strength,
a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way,
though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam,
though the mountains tremble at its flow.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God,
the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved.
God will help her.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter.
He utters his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord.
How he has brought desolations upon the earth.
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to our brother in the faith, and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 and 14. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A brief mention about the both the next two readings from Revelation and from John. We studied Revelation for the past year and also started on the Gospel of John. So both these readings are texts that Denny had been in Bible study for over the past year. So, and I'll also be preaching on from John. The epistle reading is from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. God has made his people through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and hope. We join together and confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The words for the next hymn, I Am Jesus' Little Lamb, are printed there. If in case you're looking in a hymnal, it's not that number, 801, but 740, 740. But the words are here. At the time when I finished the bulletin, I did not have the sermon hymn or the sermon title picked out yet, but the title is No Darkness, Only Jesus' Life and Light. And it reflects on John 1, John 3, and John 20. To start, I read from John 20, verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear Doug and Dave and Diane and Pat and Kirsten, Todd, Bryce, Tracy, Barrett, and Violet, God's peace and comfort be with you every day. I knew Denny in several different contexts, but mostly I knew him as a man who loved God's word and studying it. He attended as many Bible studies as he could, and he especially loved to study the writings of the Apostle John. And over the past year and a half, it just worked out that at our congregation and our various Bible studies, we studied all of Revelation. We studied the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we just started the Gospel of John. And Danny was there for almost every single one of those Bible studies. And so I shaped this sermon according to the opening verses of the Gospel of John, which Denny told me those were his favorite verses in the Bible. And he was very happy that we were studying the Gospel of John, that we had started that. He told me four weeks ago, when we started, he says, "Pastor, I'm going to get my own little journal Bible of John." He always used something else, but for this one, he was going to get his own. The passage that I just read at the beginning of the sermon from chapter 20 is John's clearly stated purpose for writing the gospel. And at the beginning, the very first lesson of John in our Bible study, we noted this purpose statement from John. Why should we read God's word? What is it good for? John says in John 20, verse 31, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Our comfort starts with the fact that Jesus, our Savior, is God. He can take care of us. As we go through life ups and downs, days, weeks, months, years, how do we get through? What is consistent and reliable as the world changes in many ways, sometimes good ways and oftentimes not so good ways? And the changes that we face in our own lives, sometimes they're good and sometimes they're really hard. And it's a struggle to get through. But knowing and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, John calls him the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word is Jesus Christ. And to know that we believe in him gives us strength and hope that we have somebody who can get us through the struggles, the ups and downs. And when John calls Jesus the Word, it's not only just like words that just sit there, but it's actions, God's actions. And one thing we considered very closely over and over again is that in Genesis, when God said the word, "Let there be light," there was light. What God says to happen will happen. This is Jesus. What he says is God's actions. And then towards these last months, as he faced more health difficulties, he was comforted, and he told me, that Jesus is God. The Word is God. And he believed that and strongly trusted in Christ. And that is God's design, that we trust in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 3 of John 1 says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The scriptures are clear that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all present at creation, and all were part of creation, the creation of the whole universe. And several times, Daddy and I, we discussed scripture's teaching of creation, and versus some evolutionary theories and so forth. And we discussed news articles. I remember giving him news articles about how there was the theory of evolution was changing, and there was new scientific evidence, and it kind of changed the way that theory went and so forth. And that changing theory shows us that there's chaos there. There's inconsistency there. What do we cling to? John's gospel clearly teaches us that we can cling to the Word, that we can cling to Jesus, who is the source of life, who is not random. God is in control, not chaos that somehow gets organized, but God is in control. And we emphasize at Zion that Jesus taught us to know that God is in control in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer. We emphasize the Lord's Prayer because Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This is how you should pray. This is how you should look for everything you need and your guidance, your protection. Every time we sang the Lord's Prayer as a congregation, Denny said to me on the way out, "I love singing the Lord's Prayer." We're singing it today, you'll notice. Now, Jesus, as a Word, the Son of God, he points us to our Heavenly Father. Verse 4 and 5 of John 1 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Escaping darkness was important to Denny, as it is to all Christians. If a person is not a Christian, there is a search for meaning and truth in life, but there's also a search for security, safety. And you can see people look all over for those things. Where can I be safe? Where's a light and life? Where is there not darkness and not death? I need light and life. And John's gospel is crystal clear on this point. In the Word of God, the Son of God, we have life and light. And even if things look like darkness and death, even it looks like there's chaos, and it might overtake us, it cannot succeed. For we have the Word, who is Word and life. And that is a fundamental belief for all Christians. Even if my body dies, death is not in charge. Jesus is in charge. He is life and light. And Denny spoke this to me many times. He said, "Jesus is in charge, Pastor." It is important for us Christians to hear that the death of our bodies is only temporary. And in no way does death separate us from God, from Jesus, from the Father, from the Holy Spirit. To die in the Christian faith is to be with God. That word perish in many English translations, that indicates a separation, an alienation of God forever. That perish is a very bad word. Dying, the word dying, usually how it's translated, is not a bad word in that it does not end us. We're still with God in death. But a Christian does not perish. A Christian may die and be with God, but a Christian's life goes on forever. Jesus taught this. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That was Denny's confirmation verse. And that has happened. He has life, everlasting life with God. He has not perished, but he is with his God and all his saints. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the gifts you give to us. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn, "Jesus Loves Me," printed in the bulletin. The congregation is invited to stand as we pray the prayer printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and that through the gate of death and the grave we may pass with him to our joyful resurrection. Hear us, O Lord. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage, and who walk as yet by faith your Holy Spirit, that he may lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days. Hear us, O Lord. Grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Hear us, O Lord. Grant to all who mourn a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrows on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Hear us, O Lord. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, in the communion of your church, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Hear us, O Lord. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe in and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Hear us, O Lord. God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. The congregation may be seated. At this time, I read the obituary that was directly taken from the Rodenberger Gray website. So the family contributed and gave the information for this obituary. Dennis Dale Meyer, 72, of Ridgeville Corners, Ohio, died unexpectedly on Tuesday, September 26, 2023, at his residence. He was born on July 26, 1951, to Menard H. and Lucille Anna Audie Meyer. He was baptized, confirmed, and was a current member at Zion Lutheran Church in Ridgeville Corners. He graduated in the last graduating class from Ridgeville Corners in 1969 and earned a bachelor's degree in political science from Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. Denny is survived by his siblings, Douglas Meyer, Patricia, of State College, Pennsylvania, David Meyer, Kirsten, and Diane Meyer Greaser, Todd, of Ridgeville Corners. Nephew Bryce and Tracy Meyer, and great nephew Barrett, and great niece Violet. In his younger years, Denny spent a good amount of time on the golf course with his friends and was quite the competitor. He was proud to be a Ridgeville Falcon and represented the school through a variety of sports and music. He was happy to carry on the legacy of Meyer Farm Service, which was established in 1942 by his father and uncle, and in 1985, Denny and his brother Dave took over ownership and formed Meyer Equipment. Denny loved every opportunity he had to visit with family and friends, and especially enjoyed the time spent with his great niece and nephew at family gatherings and during their VBS and church events. A memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday, October 2, 2023, at Zion Lutheran Church in Ridgeville Corners, Ohio, with Reverend Carl Rockwer officiating. Interment will follow in the church cemetery. Memorial gathering will be held from 1 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, October 1 at Rodenberger Gray Funeral Home in Napoleon, and on Monday from 10 to 11 a.m. at the church. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions are suggested to Zion Lutheran Church or Ridgeville Fire and Rescue. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.rodenbergergray.com. And if you didn't know, there is a lunch provided in Zion's basement following the order of committal at the gravesite. There are prepared two different family reflections that are recorded. I want to introduce them and what they are, and then we will listen. After we listen to those, we will go into the closing hymn, and at that time, during the first verse or getting into the second verse, in that area, I will go with the family, and we will start processing out towards the cemetery. You're all invited to go. You keep your bulletin with you. There's a little order at the cemetery written right in there. And if you don't want to go, that's fine too. And you can walk. I'll be walking, but other people will be driving as well. Both ways are possible. To introduce these two reflections, and they're both recorded, we'll play them over the speakers. The first is a song by Violet that she made up. And I think I got this story right. Diane told Violet in the car that they used to make up stories about the leaves and different things, songs, and with her brothers. And Violet said, I have a song, do you want to hear it? And so Violet then sang this song about, first about Diane's mother, and then also about Denny. And so you will hear it. And it's just about a minute and a half long. And the first part about their mother, she sings some of the same things. You'll hear the same concepts repeated. It's almost like verse 1 and verse 2. So you'll hopefully pick it up. And the second thing is a tribute, a reflections by Diane. And she wanted to record it so she could get it out well. And so we'll listen to Diane's reflections also about Denny. And after that, we'll have the hymn.
It was time for Diane Mom to die, but it was a little way, but it was time, and it was still, it was time, it would be heaven is better than earth, because that was her, that Diane Mom, and it's so sad. But it is happy, cause it was time. And it was he, and it was him. Okay, time for Denny's. It was time for Denny to die, but it was Diane's brother, and Diane is his sister, and we are uncles, and he was. He is happy. I'm thinking he's sad. He's in heaven.
He's happy.
It's happy, but it's fun. But and it's bad. Heaven is better than earth, cause it was Uncle Denny. It was Uncle Denny, and we all love Denny. And it was fun with him, but now Diane and Todd and Tower Grandpa, now Wade Grandpa with him. It's over.
My brother Denny was 9 years older than me. I don't know much about his childhood, but as I look through pictures when he was young, he was always smiling and looked like he was a ball of energy. Some of my memories are of family vacations. I always had to sit in the middle of the back seat between Denny and Dave and probably annoyed them, or was it the other way around? My parents took us all over the country, visiting many national parks. And he was the one who seemed to enjoy those destinations the most and showed interest and was inquisitive. During his high school years, I remember attending his basketball and baseball games, listening to the band concerts, and probably at the time didn't give him much credit or take much notice of his talents and accomplishments. But as I grew older, I thought back to those times and gained a greater respect for him. I remember as a Ridgeville Falcon fan, sitting on the bleachers, on the stage at home basketball games. I actually watched him and remembered a particular shot he made. From my vantage point, I couldn't see him when he put the shot up, as he was in the one corner at the end of the court and gave that ball a heave to the other end, and lo and behold, it went in. People were going a little crazy. My friends looked at me and said, "Did you see that?" I was waving the cheerleaders' borrowed pom-poms and jumping up and down because I saw the ball go through the net, but no, I didn't know it was Denny that had made the shot. Going to visit him while he was attending Northwestern University and meeting his friends was always an exciting trip to the Windy City. Most of his college friends were from larger cities and towns and poked a little fun at him from being from where? Ridgeville Corners. He was proud of his hometown and shared with them all that he could. Golfing became his hobby, and I remember tagging along sometimes when he and my dad would go to St. Mike's Golf Course. I never had the passion he did for the game, but in thinking back, I am glad to have had that time with he and my dad. We also watched a lot of golf on TV. My mom took Denny and I to a celebrity golf tournament. Arnold Palmer was one of the celebrities. Denny was a fan and had a book that he had written, which he brought along in hopes to get Arnold's autograph. At one point, it looked like a great opportunity to ask him for his autograph, so Denny shoved the book at me and said, "Here, go see if he'll autograph this." So I walked up and I asked Arnold if he would autograph this book for my brother Denny. I handed him the book and a marker pen, and he signed it. Others found this a good opportunity to also get his autograph, so he started to sign other people's badges and the like, and I just stood there. Finally, I said, "Can I have my pen back?" Denny was so embarrassed that I asked for that pen back. I just looked at him and said, "It was my pen." I think we were all surprised that he didn't pursue a law degree after his graduation from Northwestern. But after returning home and working briefly at LaCroix and Archbold, and there is another story there which could be the reason he didn't stay there too long, let's just say there was an issue with him and a piece of equipment. And whenever I think of chop suey, well, let's just put it this way. I think it could have been chop Denny. I could imagine that was a primary reason for him not remaining there too long. There were several evenings where he and my dad sat at the kitchen table having long talks, and it seems like it wasn't long after he began working for my dad at Meyer Farm Service. Brother Dave had already been working there for several years. I have my doubts that Denny would have imagined carrying on the legacy that my dad Maynard and his brother Lomer started in the farm implement business. As the years went on, it became more important to him that the business continue, and he faithfully worked at that alongside Dave for nearly 50 years. I spent a little bit more time with both of them in these last few years doing some book work for them during my retirement, and in the last few months have spent more time with Denny, taking him to doctor's appointments. While working in the office and he was teaching me how to make certain entries, he would get off track and tell me about so-and-so who bought this unit back in 19-something. Or we'd be driving to one of his doctor's appointments and he would point out, "Well, the person that lives there bought this or that." Or he would point to a particular unit and say, "We sold that to him," and then proceed to tell me about that person's business or farm operation. Denny loved his family. He was proud of his brother Doug's musical talents and accomplishments. He knew that without the hard work and dedication of his brother Dave, there would be no Meyer equipment. He was thankful that God blessed Dave with a wonderful wife, Kirsten. And then they had their son, Bryce, whom Denny got to work with for a number of years. and then was so happy when Bryce married Tracy, and they have shared their two precious children, Barrett and Violet, with him. Denny made every effort to be as involved as possible with Barrett and Violet through activities as they participated in here at Zion. Those were precious times for Denny. Denny stored lots of information in that memory of his, but even with all that knowledge stored there from the business and from his days earning his political science degree, the best knowledge he shared was what he learned, studied, and believed, and that was knowing that he was one of God's precious creations. He was baptized and confirmed in the faith. He believed that Jesus was born, he lived, suffered, died, and rose so that his sins would be forgiven, and that on Denny's last day here on earth, he would enter heaven with all other believers in Christ who had gone before him. We had conversations in which he shared his belief in God. He shared his regrets for things that he had said or done. And he said with all confidence that he believed that by confessing those sins and believing in God's loving forgiveness, that those sins were washed away. I said on several occasions, as people would tease or make comical comments about Denny, I am not my brother's keeper. But as I share my closing thoughts, I should be happy to be my brother's keeper, as each of us as Christians should be passionate about being keepers of our brothers and sisters, and not just those that are related to us, but all people, so that all may know, like Denny did, that God created him and all people. We are God's children, and when we open our hearts and minds to Jesus and believe in him as our Savior, he will show us right from wrong and help us to love our neighbors and to be our brother's keeper. Denny, you will be missed. We are thankful for memories of you. And as you shared with me after Bible school this summer, your prayer that I would continue to teach and share my faith with Barrett and Violet by shining my gospel light, I ask each of you to let the image of the lighthouse on the front of our worship folder today remind us to always follow the light of God and do as he teaches us. Let us be the light for Jesus as each of us lets our gospel light shine by being kind, offering forgiveness to one another, and sharing our belief in Jesus as our Savior. Thank you for sharing your time with our family today as we remember Denny's earthly life and celebrate his eternal life with Jesus.
We sing the closing hymn. Let me lean, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn.